From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Craig. It's Brian Vinny Show, everybody. It is Tuesday night, August 12, 2014. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Craig is here live in studio here today. We got a lot to get into and not a lot of time. What's up, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, everyone. How are you?
Are you here to flip your lid about traffic?
I'm going to remain calm.
Let's just let it out.
No.
Where's the boy at?
He's playing with the cats.
With the cats?
Yes.
You're just going to play with the cats for an hour? Hopefully less?
Yeah.
How did he like the show?
It was fun.
How did he like the show?
Oh, he had a ball.
Yeah. What was his favorite moment?
Well, he's become a big Roman Reigns fan. He mentioned in the car on the way here, he said, you know, Dad, I think John Cena has dropped out of my top five.
Wow. Out of his fave five?
Yeah.
And, shit.
Roman Reigns is number one with a bullet.
How about that? That's shocking revelation right there.
Yeah, but he still likes Kofi.
There's nothing wrong with old Kofi.
Yeah, he had a good match.
Kofi had a hell of a match tonight.
Yeah.
We're talking about the SmackDown tapings in Seattle, everybody. We went there. And we're going to give you a review of SmackDown and main event on this program here.
Yeah.
Vinny, of course, still not here. He's in Ireland, I think. I haven't heard from him in days. I don't know what that means.
Probably means he's having a good time.
I sure hope so. I hope it means he's not like,
incarcerated.
Dead.
Okay.
I think he's all right.
Probably.
He'll be back at the end of the week, everybody, for the big weekend. Just a quick reminder, Saturday, Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon, I will be returning to the ring with Buddy Wayne, who is in intense training. I swear to God, I'm pretty sure he had 8 beers tonight.
Hmm.
And you know how much beers cost in the...
$9 a piece.
Are they really?
Not that I didn't drink any, but I had to go get my son a piece of pizza. And that was $7. And so I, was glancing up at the board and good Lord, $9 a piece for beers.
$9.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I am pretty sure that he had 8 beers.
Wow. Well,
it was no fewer than 6. That's for sure.
Had a heck of a tan.
He kept coming back to me and saying, Barry, drink one of these beers. And I was like, dude, I ain't drinking one of these beers. And so he'd drink both of them. And then he would come back with 2 more and he'd go, Barry, come on, have one of these beers.
Right.
And I was like, I don't like beer. I hate beer. I just like Brock Lesnar in that promo. I'd rather be left in a what did he say? Like a
pool of his own
blood, urine, and
vomit.
Sure. It's how I'd end up if I had one of those beers.
Possibly.
A pool of blood, urine, and vomit. And so he'd drink both of them again. And I'm almost positive he had 8 of them before we left the building.
Biggest trouble I ever got in with Tim Flowers, buddy said, Craig, go to the bar and buy me a beer and sneak it back here for me. And then Tim caught me.
Oh, man.
I got thrown out of the locker room.
Is you really?
Oh, yeah.
So you weren't in the locker room? You were just a fan?
Well, I was in the locker room, but then I got ejected.
I see.
So, but he still got his beers.
Yeah, that was a lot of, hey, he's in great shape.
Looks good.
Looks good. Tan. He's all ready for this weekend. So if you want to go, Oregon Convention Center, it is Saturday night. The doors open at 6. There's a meet and greet. I don't know what that means. Hopefully that means everybody except me. I'll be there. But 6 o'clock, everybody. The show starts at 7. It's going to be a fun time if you want to head over to Portland. Wrestle-sport.com is the website. If you want information on ticks and everything like that, Chris Masters is going to be on the show. Mason Ryan A friend of the show, both of them will be on the show. Adam Pierce as well. All friends of the show. They will all be working the program. I guess Chris Reisig is going to be there. It's myself versus Buddy. A show you cannot miss. So Saturday night, Oregon Convention Center, August 16th. Be there, because you may never have a chance to see this combination again. Also, don't forget, Super China Buffet Day is on Sunday at the Tulalip Buffet at 4 o'clock. That's what time the buffet dinner is starting. Hopefully, a lot of you that are listening to this in the area will be there. We're going to enjoy the buffet, and then we're going to come back here for SummerSlam here at the house. So if you want to be involved in that, if you'd like to email me for more information, you can. I don't know what more information you'd need. It is at the Tulalip Casino, 4 o'clock p.m. A great buffet, as Craig and I have talked about before. A great buffet, so be ready for that. And then SummerSlam afterwards should be a fun time, as always, as I always say here on the show. So check it out. One more thing, Craig.
Yes, sir.
I've gotten a lot of emails of late,
right,
regarding a conversation that we had on Sunday's show.
Uh-oh, am I in trouble?
About vinyl.
Oh, I know. Good Lord.
Yeah. I got to admit, let me just read a couple of these very quickly here. Janik here says, regarding your discussion with Craig, I also love vinyl, but it does not really sound better than MP3 or CD.
Right.
It does sound better than the 128 kilobits, but 320 you won't pick out in a blind test. Most of the music is recorded and or processed digitally in one way or the other before getting pressed on the vinyl, which destroys all the analog advantages it might have had before. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad record player, needle, stereo, whatever, it really doesn't matter where the music comes from. Nonetheless, he says vinyl is still the coolest.
Absolutely.
And Garrett here says MP3s are extremely compressed. The only perfect version is FLAC, F-L-A-C,
yep,
that is ripped off a CD or a vinyl. It is lossless, no compression. The highest bit rate on MP3 is 320. Typically, FLAC is over 1,000.
Yes.
Depending on the track. And I will admit, Craig, that my statement that why would a CD sound better than an MP3?
Right.
I was incorrect.
That's right.
What I had in my head was that a CD is nothing more than a digital audio file. And if you are playing a digital audio file on your computer that is of the same bitrate, it's going to sound exactly the same. But yes, MP3 is greatly compressed, depending on how compressed. These shows are 64 kbps. I don't know what that means, but that's what they are. They used to be 48, but I increased it to 64. Because 64 mono is roughly equivalent to 128 stereo. And since this is only an audio show, it doesn't need to be in stereo.
Sure.
So a 64 kilobit show, an audio show, at a variable bit rate is going to sound just about as good as CD quality. Maybe not quite as good, but 99.9% of people won't be able to notice it. And yes, a CD is going to sound better than an MP3 to those of you that can tell the difference. But
right,
just wanted to throw that out there. I was, in fact, kind of wrong. It's rare for me to admit.
It takes a big man, Alvarez, to admit when he's kind of wrong.
Hey, it does. Especially when he was kind of right.
Which is perfect, because you're kind of big. No, wait.
You're definitely big.
I'm kind of big.
I couldn't believe that... Was it Jimbo that didn't notice you at first?
No, he didn't notice.
It's like, how the hell can you not notice Craig? He takes up half the hall.
How dare you?
But it's a fact, right?
I'm a large, broad man.
You know what also surprised me is every time I see Cameron, I just think, oh my God, this kid is just gigantic.
Right.
But he's actually shorter than Buddy's son.
Are you kidding me? He had him by an inch.
I think Buddy's son had your son by an inch, and they're about the same age. The point is, he ain't that big.
Okay, but Nick is older.
By like a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the point of all of this is. Your son's got a bigger head. Is that like, what are we looking at here?
I have no idea.
What's this comparison all about?
I don't know. You brought it up.
You're right.
Yeah.
My wife is here. She'll take care of your boy.
I'm sure she will.
Keep an eye on him. Who's speaking of your boy and blondes? Who is your boy's favorite female performer in WWE? I learned a lot about this tonight.
Well, you see, he's 8, and I don't think he's discovered girls yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Buddy's son is 9, and he's definitely got his eye on certain ladies.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cameron usually sighs and puts his head in his hands when
I do too, but right. You know, when Eva Marie comes out, I sigh and I put my head in my hands. But I got to admit, banging body.
You don't say.
Yeah. I do say.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Buddy's son is a huge Eva Marie fan.
Me too.
And she came out and he was so excited. And I had my head in my hands like, oh my God, we've got to see Eva Marie and AJ again.
That's right.
And I knew he was a fan, so I looked over at him. And nobody can see this right now, but I'm going to do it for Craig. I'm going to show you how Buddy's son looked back at me.
Okay. Attaboy.
I was like, what? He's 9.
He opened his eyes wide and gave his eyebrows a...
it's just literally the funniest thing I saw all day.
Attaboy.
Was the look that he gave
me. You read the text to him that I sent you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't blowing a kiss at you, Craig.
I'm positive she was.
I'd like to read one other thing here before we get to SmackDown. A shout out here. We haven't done these for a long, long time. I am considering bringing them back. If you are listening to this for free and you sign up, you get a free shout out that we read out on this program. 150 words or less. It's been a long time since we did shout outs. But I want to bring him back for this one here. This is CactusJack1717. He says, I would like to request a shout out on the radio show to my amazing wife, Jade, and our newly arrived first child, Rachel Annette Raygun Bernstein.
Hmm.
I didn't notice that until I read it right now. Raygun?
Raygun?
R-A-Y-G-U-N?
Maybe it's Reagan.
Yeah, you may be right.
Not Raygun.
But it's spelled Raygun.
That's for somebody else to figure out.
Both of these lovely lasses went through a lot yesterday and today, and we are happy to welcome a healthy new member of the Empire. Congratulations!
Absolutely, congratulations.
To Cactus Jack, Jade, and Raygun.
Reagan.
Their new child. Very happy to have them now part of the Empire. What's so funny?
Raygun.
Yeah, Raygun.
Reagan.
No, Raygun.
No, this is not Buck Rogers. This is Reagan.
R-A-Y.
Oh my God.
G-U-N. Two words.
Okay, fine.
Craig.
Okay, Reagan.
Two words. Ray Gun.
Move along.
I'm just making that up. It's only one word. Okay, one song, and then we'll get going on SmackDown, since that's the only thing that we've got to talk about here today.
Good.
This song is quite fitting, given that, believe it or not, hopefully this only happens here in Seattle. But tonight, when they were plugging the network, there were, in fact, chants of $9.99.
I love my town.
Throughout the evening.
Love my town.
Here we go. You know where it's going.
Problems, but a bitch ain't one.
$9.99. Is that fucking Halloween?
No, it's Iron Maiden.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry. It was Iron Maiden. You're right.
By the way, do yourself a favor and go find the Jay-Z and Pearl Jam version of 99 Problems.
It's just seeing Craig over there jamming to the...
Dude, Jay-Z's the man.
Oh, Craig. All right. Let's start on this recap of SmackDown. These are spoilers for... Actually, first, we've got a new main event. Some of you may have already seen main event on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
That's
but
right.
We saw it live. Yes. So maybe we saw something you didn't see. By the way, the place was like 95% full.
The whole top was tarped off, dude.
What do you mean the whole top was tarped off?
It was only the lower bowl. They had no seats in the 300 section.
Was there an extra section up there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
It was badly sold.
Wow, I just saw people all the way up to the top as far as I could see. So
well, look a little taller next time.
I don't go to the Key Arena a lot.
It's a fine venue.
So how many people do you think were in there? 7,000? 6?
11, probably.
11? It's fucking amazing if it was 11,000 people there. That's a giant crowd for...
I think the Key holds anywhere from 14 to 15. Yeah, maybe 9.
Let me find out here. 9 sounds a little more
yeah,
realistic there. Okay, the Key Arena. Let's see how many people this holds here. 17,000. Wow, so it may have been 11,000. Yeah. Wow, that is a hell of a crowd for a SmackDown taping. All I know is, like, I showed up. The show was supposed to start at 4:30.
Yeah.
And so...
4:45.
Is that what time they said?
Yeah.
Regardless, I showed up at about 4:35. Actually, it was 4:30, but Buddy was like infuriated because I told him 4:15.
Right.
And he had to sit out there and in his words, look at these people.
Yeah.
So I got him inside, and then I had to wait for you.
Traffic sucked.
And you were late. But I was sitting out there and I was like, there's like no one here.
Right.
There's nobody going into the building. It's very quiet.
Traffic was horrible.
But you're missing my point. When I got in, everybody was there. This was a crowd that like showed up early, went in and sat down. And so when I got there 10 minutes before the advertised start time, it was empty out front. I thought, man, there's like nobody here. This is going to be a horrible crowd. And so I went in there and I had no trouble getting to my seat.
Right.
This was not a WrestleMania experience where I got caught. And I literally just walked in with you and, yeah, and your son. And we just went to our place. I didn't have to wait in line for the bathroom, nothing. And I went in, I had no problem. I sat down. And it was with such ease, I didn't even look at the crowd for a while. I just sat there and started watching the show. And in my mind, I thought, oh, man, this sucks. No one's here. And then it was probably like 10 minutes in the main event. I just all of a sudden decided, let me see what the crowd looks like. And I looked around and there was people all the way up to the very top of the tarp.
Yes.
There were almost no empty seats.
Yeah.
Crowd was great.
They were awesome.
I was astonished. So, yeah, this was a very good crowd here for this show. So, anyway, place was very well behaved. I know you had a big problem getting out.
Yeah.
I literally, when the show was over, I walked back to my car. I sat in it. I turned it on. I went right to the exit. There was nobody there. I went out the exit, and I went right on the freeway.
Good for you.
I drove all the way home, and literally, I pulled into my driveway, and you sent me a text that said, just got on the highway.
I was like, is that how my text sound?
Your text sounded like this. Just got on the freeway. Oops. What the fuck did I do?
I don't know.
Just got on the freeway. That's what your text reads like.
Is that right?
Yep. So, yeah, just got on the freeway and I was already home. Sucks to be you.
The only bad thing about getting stuck in traffic, as I got back to my car, I was pulling out and I swear to God, I almost ran over the Brooklyn Brawler.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No lie. I was pulling up to the stop sign to pull out onto the main drag, and he darted out in front of me with two other guys.
Was he wearing a white shirt with holes in it?
He was not. He was very well dressed, actually.
That's disappointing, actually. Actually, that's really disappointing. I understand the dress code, but...
Living the gimmick?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Brawler should not be in a suit. Just doesn't...
No, he was wearing a... A clean
white t-shirt like with no holes?
A turtleneck and black dress pants.
A turtleneck?
A mock turtleneck, not really a, you know, 1970s thing. Anyway.
A mock turtleneck.
Yeah.
A turtleneck is to be mocked. So the show opened up with the Usos coming out. I don't watch a main event on the network.
No.
Now I know why.
Right.
There's nothing really wrong with this show. In fact, the Kofi...
there's a lot wrong with it, actually.
The Kofi-Seth match, I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
But my God, was this just one? This show could be 30 minutes long.
If that.
And they found a way to extend it to an hour. The Usos come out and they issued an open challenge. And I was like, it's got to be the Wyatts. And as God is my witness, it's Rybacksel. Mm-hmm. So Rybacksel comes out and then they hit RVD's music. And then they hit Sheamus's music. And these guys are all coming out one by one. And after all of this rigmarole, they finally agree to a three-way match for the tag team titles.
Yes, sir.
And once it's agreed to, they all go to the back.
Right.
Because the match is later.
The funny thing is everybody came out with pyro.
Oh, my God.
But you only got pyro once. So when everybody went to the back, because the Usos actually started off the show, when they came back to do the match, they got pyro, but RVD did not. So you're one and done in the pyro department.
Sort of. I think there was one guy that got it twice because I was plugging my ears.
Yeah.
But it's funny, the latest financial numbers, they're doing a lot of cutbacks, obviously.
Sure.
They axed people. They've axed half the creative team. And so they've been cutting production on the TV tapings for a long time. Mm-hmm. Can they fucking cut this pyro?
It scared the bejesus out of me.
It's not just the fear that it instills, but like it blew my brain out one side of my head when that pyro went off and people screaming and it's so loud.
We were awful
close. And it's unnecessary.
We were awful close, but like when the Usos have the big flame coming, you can feel the heat off that
thing. Oh, yeah.
And we're still, you know, quite a ways away. It's pretty amazing.
I have no idea how these guys don't go deaf.
Yeah.
I guess they probably don't do this kind of pyro at the house shows. Maybe they do.
No.
But this is ridiculous. This pyro. So after this entire opening segment, which is noted was largely just a waste of time, they had the Cena Brock promo, which is absolutely awesome.
Yep.
I love this promo. And then we had Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins. More of this fucking pyro, by the way. This was a good match.
It was awesome.
Good heat. Seth is great. Kofi, you know, sometimes Kofi has TV matches and I'm not really all that impressed with him, but live, he looked great. They had a great match. Seth finally hit the buckle bomb, the curb stomp, killed him, pinned him. I thought this match was awesome. This was one of the best TV matches I've seen in a long time. Great match.
They whipped out two big dive spots in the middle. I mean, this match was tremendous.
You know, this is not new information or anything like that, but when you see Seth Rollins live, I mean, you really see why they chose him. I always hate to say this because I love Dean Ambrose, and I think Dean Ambrose is great, and I think that Dean Ambrose should be a top guy, but I've been watching this promotion since I was 13 years old, and it's so blatantly obvious why they make their decisions. Seth Rollins, great head of hair. Mm-hmm. He's tall. That's the big thing. He's tall. He's in fantastic shape. He's a great athlete. He's a great worker, and he looks great. And at the end of the day, no matter how talented somebody is, all things being equal, and I think that Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, I mean, if you take away the physical aspect of them, and you just look at their talking, they're working.
Sure.
It's not like one guy is worlds ahead of the other. They're both exceptional.
Yeah.
But one guy looks more like an action figure.
Sure.
And that's why he got that spot.
Yeah, two guys in the Shield are still wearing shirts. One is not.
That's right. That is right. Remember that one time that Roman lost his top or it got ripped off and the entire match, all he could do was work on covering his own belly?
I do remember this.
Oh, my God. This poor guy.
Yeah, Seth is great. He gets great heat. The people just hate him. And another good thing about the ride over here, my son goes, you know, I'm going to probably put Seth Rollins at number 4.
Wow.
He loves Seth.
How about that? You know, another thing from the SmackDown tapings, we watch this show on television and you presume there's tons of crowd sweetening.
Right.
Dude, I don't know how it is in other cities. There will be no crowd sweetening of this show.
Don't need it.
This crowd was great. And I always thought that sometimes like the you sold out chance, I was always a little bit skeptical.
Right.
But sure as shit, chanting you sold out here at Seth. So
I noticed this on Raw And I also noticed it tonight. I'm seeing more NXT signs in the crowd as well.
That's right.
I saw the SWAFT signs.
Soft, not SWAFT.
SWAFT.
Soft.
I'm doing my Brooklyn accent. I come over this table and
there's
kill
you. There's still not a W after the S.
It's SWAFT.
Soft.
Soft. Whatever.
We had an RVD and Sheamus promo.
Yeah.
RVD
has been imbibing.
So awkward.
Somebody has been imbibing in our legal cannabis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You mean imbibing?
Whatever.
He's so awkward in this promo. Just two completely awkward dudes just having a chat.
Yeah.
I liked it. They did the Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon video, which was great. And I never noticed this before. I don't know if this is new, but when they do the SummerSlam graphic, they have Hunter and Nikki announced as being in the corners. Yeah. For SummerSlam.
Well. I noticed that as well.
So apparently they're going to both be at ringside. They've been talking about making Hunter the ref. I guess apparently they're not going to do that. But he's going to be down there, so trouble's coming. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we had RVD and Sheamus against the Usos and Rybacksel. And one thing about being there live is that guys like Ryback and RVD, like I watch RVD on TV and it's just he looks so slow and so old. And Ryback, you just see him as kind of a sort of a stiff. Mm-hmm. God damn, they were great.
Yeah.
RVD was great this evening. Place went nuts for him. Ryback was working his ass off. Everybody just looked great in this match. There was an awesome spot where Sheamus went for a brogue kick, his jumping brogue kick, and as he's in midair, Ryback picked him up and powerbombed him. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And finally, one of the Usos got a blind tag on Axel. It's a three-way so he can tag anybody. And so RVD hits a frog splash on Axel, and the Uso immediately comes off the top with a splash and pins RVD. Mm-hmm. Very good match. Very good match.
There was a great spot where RVD was running wild, and both Curtis Axel and Ryback are on the outside. And he goes up top to hit the five-star on one of the Usos. Well, the one Uso moved, and so, well, might as well take out Ryback-Axel. And dove and did a gainer. I mean, this was a cross body with almost a twist. It was pretty impressive. And it was a fun match. They took turns hitting their finishers and I was surprised how big of a heel Ryback is. He's a great heel. Jawing with the crowd. Being obnoxious, telling people to shut up, and he's got a future. I don't know where, but he's got a future.
You know, we were one row off the floor, right behind the production area.
Yeah, I saw you guys.
And so I'm kind of intrigued by it because I do all the production on this particular show.
Sure.
So I'm kind of watching everybody see what kind of stuff they're doing and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a dude right in front of me, and I don't know what his job is, but it like right when everybody was about to come out, he had to like push a button. Uh-huh. I don't even know what it was for, but in the meantime, during all of the matches, he was on his laptop, mm-hmm. and he was scouring YouTube for boating videos.
Okay, the guy in front of me was on his laptop. I got a good story. I was sitting next to one of the hard cameras. There is two of them. So anonymity is at its best here. But one of the guys was next to the camera. He was looking for flights.
I got to get out of Seattle somehow. Right.
But the camera that I was closest to, and you guys don't need to know where because I don't want to sell anybody out, but there was a guy standing next to the camera, and he was chatting up this blonde that was sitting in the crowd. And he says, "Oh yeah, I'm the director of the show here, and
you don't want to stooge him off, but you just announced his official position in the company.
He was the director of the show.
I see. Yeah, hope not, dude.
I'm the director of the show, little lady, and I'd like to show you a thing or three.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
How about that,
he was chatting her up, and I was giggling because he was doing a fine job."
Well, the dude in front of me should have been doing that because he wasn't getting much of it as boating videos. It was like boating instructionals, like how to park a boat. I got completely distracted at one point just watching what he was watching. Like, what are you watching?
That's funny. Your guy was looking for a boat. My guy was looking for a little man in the boat.
Excuse me?
What?
A little man in the boat? I've never heard this term.
Do your Urban Dictionary.
Man in a boat?
Little man in the boat.
It's better not have to do with a little tent in the pants. It is on Urban Dictionary.
I know it would be.
Oh, wow. Slang for clitoris. How about that? A little man sailing the big vagina sea, it says.
Oh, my gosh. You weren't supposed to read it. It's supposed to be.
You brought it up.
Theater of the mind here, brother.
It looks like a little man in a boat, it says here.
Yeah.
Also, little boy in the boat.
That's not right.
How about that? Otherwise known as the moan button. Did you write that one, Craig?
No.
How the hell have I never heard that term before?
Well, you probably have to find it first.
I'm going to come over to this table. Don't forget who is taking my jiu-jitsu class tomorrow, Craig.
I know.
Don't make me take your son out as revenge to set up a match with you.
See, my joke was awesome. You just didn't get it.
Shocking.
Yeah.
All right. Where were we? Oh, is that it?
Yeah, we're done with main event.
Man, that was a show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, I guess.
I missed the Adam Rose because, Cameron was hungry and I had to be a father. So we went and got a $7 slice of pizza.
Oh my God.
But we did see the Exotic Express. There is a boat. There is a bus. And it's the Exotic Express. We saw it with our own eyes.
Your son did walk up to me right when you arrived and said, "We saw the Exotic Express." He was so excited.
Yes, because we saw a bus.
Well, Xavier Woods faced Adam Rose in a dark match. I have no idea why this went so long.
Mm-hmm.
Rose sold for a long time, and then he made a comeback, and he won. It wasn't like he made a comeback, and they exchanged near falls.
Right.
He made a comeback, he hit his move, and he won.
Hmm.
And then they all danced away. The whole point of the whole match, I was just trying to figure out if I knew anybody in the Exotic Express.
Right.
I didn't care about the match. Wasn't much to it.
Jimbo wasn't out there.
Jimbo was not in the Express, no.
That's too bad.
Nor was Ryzik, but I did see him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I saw him out there. Thought of going and jumping him for ending my career for the last 4 years, but I gave him a pass till Saturday night. So we had Miz TV. This was the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It really was.
I'm telling you all right now, if you don't watch SmackDown, you have got to watch the segment with Miz and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So Miz comes out, and he's being Miz, and he says that he wants to start to mentor these young guys in the locker room. So he calls out his guest, Roman Reigns. And so Roman comes out and he sits in a chair next to Miz. And Miz starts babbling on.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he would ask Roman a question, Roman would begin to answer. But then Miz would just talk right over him and just keep going.
Yes, he would mention his movie career. He would mention the movies he was in. He would just go on and on and on, cutting Roman off every time.
Just steamrolled him one time after another.
That's right.
So finally, he asks him one last question. And as Roman is about to answer, Miz just talks right over him and steamrolls him. And Roman Reigns kind of furrows his brow a little bit.
Yeah.
And he does his fish lips gimmick.
Sure.
And he fucking punches him right in the face.
Hard.
And I'm not talking like your average pro wrestling punch.
No.
They're sitting next to each other in these chairs. And the reason it was so great was because Miz is talking into the mic as it happened. And Roman Reigns manages to punch him not only in the face, but also in the mic at the same time. So you just hear this.
Yeah.
Just, it was so amazing. And so Miz falls out of his chair and he runs to the back because the moneymaker has been punched.
Mm.
They proceed to show at least three replays. And Roman Reigns punched him so hard.
Yeah.
Right in the face. Just,
you know, it's bad when
so
you get
awesome
when you get punched and the other side of your face jiggles.
Yeah.
And that happened and his glasses went flying. It was tremendous.
I feel bad that I'm laughing at Miz getting stiffed with a punch in the face. I'm not laughing. I'm not saying it was awesome because The Miz got punched, although it was. Mm-hmm. But it was just like the timing was so perfect. The visual was so perfect. The sound was so perfect. It was also perfect because of Miz's gimmick.
Yes.
Like, you punch anybody else in the face, it's not such a big deal. But because he's got this don't hit me in the face gimmick, it was just, it was so fantastic. And think about in pro wrestling, on a two-hour show, how many guys you see get punched in the face? How many people got punched in the face on this show? A dozen people?
Every one of them.
I'm sure every single one of them got punched.
Sure.
But they just move on with their lives. Nothing happens. When Miz came out in the main event and he's holding his face.
Yeah.
And then they show Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is standing in the corner and he's smirking because he punched this guy right in the face earlier.
Right.
And he's kind of like massaging his fist, like, yes, boy, I punched you in the face hard. And everybody is just laughing. And then he makes Miz flinch with the fist. Everybody's laughing. It was such a great show long storyline. Yeah. This was awesome. This was great.
Roman Reigns was on KISW, our local radio station, this morning. And what a gentleman. Just massively well-spoken, just nice. They were asking quote-unquote shoot questions, and he was out of character. He just seems to be a good dude. And I was very impressed with Mr. Reigns, not only on the radio show this morning, but in the ring tonight.
Roman Reigns is, he's great. He's not there yet, but, I mean, I've said this a million times. People complain. If you want to complain about stupid storylines that get stopped, start and stop storylines and stupid stuff like this and what they do with Cesaro.
The New Nation.
I mean, you can do all that. Yeah, the New Nation, which is apparently dead. I mean, you can do all of this if you want to. But oftentimes, that stuff is done because they've made a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, this New Nation thing is just not going to work. Giving up on Cesaro is like ungodly stupid.
Yeah.
But it's like, in their minds, they've given up on the guy. So in their minds, it makes sense. But you could never tell me that they don't know what they're doing when they want to do something. And everything they do with Roman Reigns is like, it's perfect. I shouldn't say that. Every now and then they give him a really stupid line. But in general, he's completely different from John Cena. If you watch him, if you watch his look and his ring attire and the way he's booked, what they're trying to create is another Undertaker. He works the same way. He dresses the same way. He does the same sort of interview style where you just give him a few tough guy things to say, like he's a cowboy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say too much. He works a match in a similar sort of way. I mean, they're really, to me, trying to make him into another Undertaker. Not the dead guy part of it or the magic, but like the whole tough guy persona.
Sure.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, this is a guy that the people should be turning on right now, but they're not. They love the guy. So,
yeah.
Good job, Roman. Then we had Ambrose and Cesaro. Holy shit, what a great match. These guys had a pay-per-view quality match. This is awesome chance. Cesaro took like nearly the entire match. So whether they're giving up on him or not, I mean, he was dominating this match. And then finally, Dean hit his finish out of nowhere for the pin. I just thought this match was great.
I saw about 3 minutes of this because...
Oh, man.
I had to play father, and Cameron was holding his stomach and saying, Dad, I gotta go.
See, you shouldn't have got him that pizza. Didn't they have like some grass-fed beef?
In the Key Arena.
Or a salad?
In the Key Arena.
Sure. It's Seattle. Come on.
I think
they didn't have any vegan burgers.
I think they had a fruit cup.
See, that might have been better.
So, yeah, I missed, like I said, I saw maybe 3 minutes.
Well, you missed an awesome match.
Well,
dude.
I will see it again on Friday.
So Seth came out on the ramp afterwards and he did this promo and he essentially said, Seth, you were never my friend. You were never my brother. I never gave a damn about you. Mm. Fighting words.
I'll tell you.
We had Miz backstage.
With an ice pack.
Went up to Kane. Said he wanted Roman banned from Miz TV. Isn't that Miz's show?
It is.
So Kane said, I've got another solution. I'm going to book you versus Roman Reigns tonight. And when I heard that Roman Reigns and Miz was going to be the main event, I was kind of like, that match doesn't excite me very much. But then I turned around and I looked at Buddy Wayne's son.
Yeah.
And his eyes had grown so wide.
Huh.
And he had such a gigantic smile on his face because he was going to get to see these two men fight after what had happened in the opening segment. Mm. He was so excited to see this match.
My son wasn't bothered by it because on the radio spots all week that they had been doing for promos, they had announced that there was going to be a six-man as the main event. Turns out we kind of got it, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
The Dolph-Titus O'Neil match. What's so funny?
I actually like this match, and I'll tell you why. Usually Dolph moves at a million miles an hour, but Titus O'Neil is a large man, and he's just a step slower than Dolph. So he actually caused Dolph to slow down. And they had a perfectly fine match.
Sure. I guess.
You don't buy that?
Well, it was all right. Titus. Goddamn, Titus is big.
Yeah, he's a huge man.
He's gigantic. He did look like his back hurt. He was walking kind of funny. Maybe he always walks like that.
Maybe.
But he was walking a little funny.
And this has nothing to do with nothing, but I noticed Buddy Wayne, and he's been wrestling all his life. I was following him out, and he walks like a guy that just got off a horse.
Like he's got a broken back and two bad, heart surgeries?
And bad knees and everything else.
Yeah.
And I just bumped Cameron. I said, right there, that's a wrestler right there.
That's a wrestler, kid. That's what you aspire to be, the walking wounded.
Yeah.
In the key arena. So Dolph won with a zigzag. No, the match was all right.
I thought it was good.
And then
enjoyed it.
Heath got mad at Titus, but nothing happened. Some people were chanting for Heath Slater. All I know about this match is add Buddy to the list, hates Dolph Ziggler matches.
Yeah.
And he's just ranting the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves Titus O'Neil.
Sure.
He goes, look at that guy.
I could see that.
He tries so hard. He's so happy to be here. What a great guy. And so he's watching the match and he's just ranting about Ziggler and he's ranting and Ziggler hits a zigzag and the ref goes, 1, 2, 3. And Buddy just goes, it's a shame. He's right.
Yeah, it is.
I do like Titus.
I like how they put together Slater and the Gator and they already are. They did show clips from what we missed on Monday night, where Slater and Titus were bringing Hogan a cake.
Mm.
And they were arguing over who was going to give Hogan his birthday cake, and Titus ended up getting most of it in his face. And
that's right.
And he threw it at Slater. So
poor bugger.
Yeah.
And then we had Luke Harper and Mark Henry.
This was tremendous.
It was so awesome because earlier in the show, I think it was after the first segment, it was right after the Miz got punched in the face.
Yeah.
And Buddy and I were laughing. And so we look up at the big screen and they're showing a replay or whatever. And then all of a sudden they show a graphic for Luke Harper against Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And I love Luke Harper.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw Luke Harper versus Mark Henry and then it goes tonight, like this is something to keep you tuned into the program. I like looked at Buddy and he looked at me the exact same time and we just were stone faced for a second and then we just started laughing. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This did not go long.
No.
And they very quickly, Rowan just hit the ring for the DQ. And I presume tag program coming. I spoke too soon. That's exactly what they did. Kane came out.
Yeah.
And he made the match. Best for business, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that the Wyatts against Mark Henry and the Big Show was
fun.
It was fun. It was a better match than Luke Harper versus Mark Henry.
Absolutely.
And it's nothing, no disrespect. I love Luke Harper. But Luke Harper and Mark Henry, I love Mark Henry in a way, but Mark Henry ain't going to have a good match with anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say that. He can have a decent match with guys, but it's not something you're the you know, tickets aren't flying for the Mark Henry singles match here. But him and Show did fine. They got the heat on Big Show, the biggest guy in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry got the hot tag. And then to my utter dismay and shock, Mark Henry and the Big Show beat them clean.
Yeah, the finish, they picked it. Mark Henry picked up Rowan, held him while Show hit him. He held him like he was going to do the World's Strongest Slam.
Yep.
Show punched him in the face, and then he did the World's Strongest Slam.
Yes.
That's the finish.
Yes.
That's easy.
Well, it is easy, but I couldn't believe they beat the Wyatts like this.
Well, they beat Rowan.
Well, sure, but I mean, these guys were in line for the tag team titles, and the act was hot.
Your point is valid.
And now they're just two dudes. It sucks.
Your point is valid. I cannot argue with that.
We had a Stephanie sit-down interview with Michael Cole. God damn, she's the best.
Isn't she?
She's so great of late. She did the same thing, actually, that Miz was doing. She wouldn't let Cole get a word in.
Right.
She just was just ranting and talking over him, and then they cut to one brief shot of Michael Cole, and he just looked defeated. It's so great. So great.
It would have been better if he would have, like, you know, loosened his tie and tussled his hair, you know?
Sure.
Like he'd just been in a verbal war. But yeah, this is good stuff. Stephanie's, she's a star of the show.
So then we had, yes, AJ Lee against Eva Marie. When we had this match on Raw, and I was doing the Raw report with Dave,
yeah,
he was like, the worst part of this is we have to see a rematch.
Yeah.
And I was, at first I just thought, no, we're not. Come on. Really? Is this leading to a rematch? Sure as shit, here was a rematch. Mm-hmm. And so one would think, well, AJ gets her win back.
Sure.
Well, they had this match. They did more than a headlock takeover. AJ at one point pulled out some of Eva's extensions.
Yes, she did.
I do expect that to be edited out.
That was awesome. She grabbed it and pulled it out, and then she held it for a minute, and she's got this big, long strand of red hair. So what does she do? She holds it up over her head and starts whipping it around like it's a party favor.
Yeah.
It was great.
So Paige came out skipping. AJ was not down for this tonight, so she tackled her off the apron. Mm-hmm. They're brawling, and the ref's counting, and I'm like, dear God, no. Oh, I mean, yeah. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And sure as shit, they counted out AJ.
A count out on a distraction finish. Gosh, we've never seen any of those.
So now Eva's won twice, and as much as I don't want to see this, I mean, let's be fair. She should be in this title match now on Sunday. This should be a three-way.
Sure. I don't see that happening, but again, your point is valid.
So then Paige laid out AJ with the Paige Turner, and AJ was down for a long time afterwards, and they sent dudes out, and she finally walked to the back with help. I don't know if she was hurt. I do know that she did take a terrible bump.
Yes.
She landed on the back of her head, and her feet went over and landed on. So she may have gotten hurt, hopefully not badly. Mm. But listen, everybody. Listen to me. The Paige Turner has got to go.
It sucks.
Honest to God, I don't think I've ever seen it in WWE a single time where it did not look mistimed or bad.
I think the reason her bump looks so bad is because she knows that finisher looks bad. So she overshot her mark.
She overcompensates.
And she wanted to make it look really dramatic. Well, she landed on the back of her head, and it looked like her feet touched the mat on the other side.
Just brutal.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
The move, I mean, it looked terrible on Monday. It looked terrible here.
Yes.
It looked terrible the first time she did it. The timing of it just has to be weird because nobody can do it right. It's not like Paige can't come up with another finish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's got to go. Someone's going to get killed and it never looks good.
Yeah.
We had Bo Dallas and Jack Swagger.
Yes, we did.
Swagger beat him in 1 minute with the ankle lock. So much for Bo.
So much for Bo.
He did do a promo.
Tremendous.
Off television to explain why he lost. He claimed he was crawling to the ropes and the stupid referee saw it as a tap.
The silly referee.
Silly referee. He forgave this silly man. He said there was no shame in losing to the great Jack Swagger, mm-hmm. but he believes that Rusev is going to crush Swagger on Sunday.
Yeah, they saved that for the quote-unquote the app. So, you'll be able to see this because they actually, they said it was an app exclusive, but then they ended up showing it to you later on. So,
so then Rusev and Lana came out and
yeah, they did.
I just looked at Nick and I was like, dude, this is the ladies you should be looking at, homeboy, not this Eva Marie. But they actually let her talk this time. Mm-hmm. And she said they're going to dedicate the flag match to Putin. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a story, everybody.
Sure.
So last night on Raw, JBL says that imagine what Lana would think if Jack Swagger made Rusev tap out in the flag match. And so I was immediately taken aback. Like, tapped out in a flag match? How the fuck do you tap out in a flag match? I thought it was capture the flag.
It depends.
So Dave and I started discussing this. Like, what the hell are the rules for this match? We couldn't figure out if it was like coward waves the flag, like the whoever loses via pinfall or submission waves the flag, or is it capture the flag, or what the hell are the stipulations? So I woke up this morning and somebody had emailed me and they said, on WWE.com, they've announced that the rules are it's capture the flag. I thought, okay, well, that's the rules. It's capture the flag.
Question.
Yes.
I've seen flag matches where they have two poles, one in each opposing corner.
Sure.
And they put the other man's flag on the corner, and basically you have to climb up and get your flag, and that's how it wins. But I've also seen flag matches in WWE where they actually put them like on the stage.
Okay. Well, forget all that shit for now.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second.
Fair enough.
So I'm writing this in the daily update, what the rules of the flag match are as written on WWE.com. And I get an email, or I get a text, I'm sorry, from somebody in the company who apparently had been listening to the show. And they said to me, the finish, or the rules of the match, are that whoever gets the pinfall or the submission, their national anthem will be played.
I see.
And I was like, and so I immediately texted them back and I said, it's already being reported on WWE.com that it's capture the flag. Mm-hmm. And they texted back and said, it would be nice if somebody alerted us. And so I go to the show and I was trying to get the tickets. Mm-hmm. And so I was texting back and forth with somebody, and they got back to me later, and they had been attempting to get the capture the flag stipulation removed from WWE.com because it was wrong. Jeez. So at the end of the day, as of right now, I have no fucking idea what the rules of a flag match are for SummerSlam on Sunday. Which to me is like an important detail in an important match. What are the rules?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows yet.
SummerSlam, for God's sake. Anyway. It's baffled. Is it that hard?
No, it's not.
And finally, we had Reigns versus Miz. As noted, Reigns was LOLing about punching Miz in the face.
Yeah.
Match was all right.
It's okay.
Reigns finally went for the Superman punch. Miz bailed. Ziggler came out on the ramp to stop him. Miz gets the Superman punch in the aisle, thrown into the ring, and speared for the pin. A very bad night for Miz's moneymaker, which to me suggests a very bad night for Dolph Ziggler coming up at SummerSlam. Yeah, the match was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Nothing really special. I mean, the match is Roman Reigns versus Miz.
Yeah.
Everything that you can think of that would happen in that match, that's what happened. There was nothing to report on. You know what I mean?
Oh.
But then we got...
the key to the show, in my opinion, but go ahead.
Yeah. And then we got the quote-unquote six-man tag.
Yeah.
That we were promised on the radio and... promotional spots all over the place.
Sure.
And let me think. We had Bray Wyatt coming out. And that was really cool. Seeing that entrance live
With the cell phone lights? Yeah. Awesome.
Because, you know, we saw it at Mania 30, which was goosebumps. The cell phone gimmick is really cool. So Bray comes out. So you got Bray and Kane and help me out here, Brian.
We had Seth and the Wyatt sent out to kill Roman. Kane sent them out.
Yes, but Kane came as well.
And so Dean and Sheamus ran down to help, and we had a giant brawl involving Kane. No match, no bell, no ref.
Yeah, the six-man actually involved seven people.
Seven people, and it was not actually a match.
Right.
And the baby faces clear the ring. And to me, the key to the whole show was this. I was there with Buddy's family and his eight-year-old son.
Nine.
And you were there with your young boy.
Yes, sir.
And there was a whole lot of people there. Like I said, probably 8,000-9,000 people. Like every seat that was available was virtually full. There were a few empty seats here and there, but this place was packed. Mm-hmm. Great crowd.
Yeah.
And there was not one person that I heard that was unhappy that John Cena was not there.
Yeah.
The Roman Reigns match was not like a blow-away main event with The Miz, but everybody enjoyed it. Everybody loved Roman Reigns. They cheered like crazy when Roman Reigns won.
Yes.
They did the post-match brawl, and Roman Reigns and Sheamus and Dean Ambrose, they cleared the ring, and they did the John Cena thing where they went all over the place. They slapped hands with the crowd. They raised their arms. They went up on the ramp. They raised their arms again. They played the music. People were like, they were happy.
Yeah.
They had no problem with John Cena not being there on the show. So to me, that was a very positive sign for the future. You know, Roman Reigns is working main events on the house shows. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like the John Cena tour, and then the other tour is Roman Reigns is the main eventer. He doesn't have a belt. He doesn't have a championship of any sort. But he's going out there on these house shows, and he's closing the show, and he's doing great. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. That's what they need.
I got to give it up for Dean Ambrose. I love this guy's work. I think I love him because everything he does, I can actually buy. Everything he does, I believe.
Except when he got wrapped up in a present.
Aside from that.
Wrapped him up in the present, Craig.
Maybe there was a trapdoor on the present. He had it planned all along.
Well, I'm sure he did, but
I don't know. But as the show's ending, as you said, the baby faces were all glad handing people at ringside. Everybody was having a ball. Dean Ambrose jumped up on the table and he looks over and there's this little kid in a wheelchair. And he pointed at the security guard and he said, bring that kid over. And his dad picked him up, brought him over. And Dean probably made that kid's week.
Very nice man.
I was touched.
Very touching moment.
Yeah, that's just really cool to me, as when you know, little kids don't get a fair shake in life, and somebody goes out of their way to be kind to them.
That's right. I'll cheer you up, Craig. What do you think was in that box before Dean Ambrose got in it? I mean, let's think about this. It was Hulk Hogan's birthday, and they had all these gifts out on the stage, right?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So theoretically, WWE and these wrestlers all bought gifts for Hogan. So did someone buy him a refrigerator? So not only did Dean have to hide in the box, but he had to somehow hide what I presume was a very expensive gift.
Okay. Maybe it was one of those little mini fridges that just had protein shakes in it.
This was not a mini fridge, dude. This was a full-sized, big-ass, like, meat fridge.
Okay.
That you put a whole half a cow in. Another one. At least he got out of it quick.
Yes, he did.
Got to give him that. Yes, Dean Ambrose, very sweet thing. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And it was a great moment. It was a great show. We got three baby faces the place just went crazy for. Everybody was happy. Like, when I was leaving, sometimes you leave and, like, people get pissed off about something. Usually when it's, like, a Raw or a pay-per-view, they like, a finish or something like that. Mm-hmm. I left, I didn't hear anybody mad about anything.
No.
They came, they saw a great show, they had a good time, and no John Cena. I'm not saying that you should just get rid of John Cena, but I'm just saying that the idea that, like, without John Cena, this thing's going all to hell, No, they're building. Although I am very excited for John Cena and Brock Lesnar on Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Who's going to win?
I got to go with Brock.
I sure fucking hope so.
I think he's going to hold that title all the way till Mania next year.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're going to have from now until Mania, mm-hmm. no title matches on house shows? No champion on Raw half the time?
I guess not. You're going to have, man, that sucks because they really, if they would have done a better job with their US or Intercontinental title, it's something they could have fell back on, but. Yeah, anyway.
Maybe they could do some sort of bullshit finish where, and I'm not suggesting that this is what I would do, everybody. Mm. I'm just thinking of an idea. You do a bullshit finish and you do like maybe Brock has him in the Kimura and somehow you have two refs and John Cena taps out while simultaneously Brock is pinned. And so both guys technically have beaten the other. And so they can't figure out what to do. And so they split the belts. And John Cena gets the world title, and Brock goes home with the WWE title. And so Brock is the champion, in a sense, but you've also got a guy who can defend a belt on the house shows. I do not put this past them. That's all I'll say.
I don't like it.
I don't put it past them. But I guess we'll see what they do. All right, let's play one more song, Craig.
Sure.
This one may be a little lewd. Anytime a song has dick in the title.
Oh, no.
I'm skeptical, but it's Dick Slater.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's perfectly tame.
For all the fellas out there with ladies to impress, it's easy to do. Just follow these steps. 1.
Cut a hole in a box.
2.
Put Dick Slater in the box.
3.
Make her open the box.
And that's the way you do it.
It's my Dick Slater in the box.
Christmas.
Dick Slater in the box.
Hanukkah.
Brett Kremen.
Hello.
Kwanzaa.
Dick Slater in the box.
Every single holiday.
Dick Slater in the box.
That's a pretty good one.
That was good.
All right, everybody. We are going to wrap it up here today. It was a very special day. 3 free shows here on the website. If you have enjoyed all of the freebies, I recommend signing up. We do brand new shows every single solitary day, usually 2, sometimes 3, every single day. And as a subscriber, you not only get all the new shows, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is in the archives. Over 6,000 radio shows in the archives right now. We have double the archived content of the WWE Network, if you can even believe that. If you sign up for a year or more, it is as low as $9.99 a month. You heard that right! $9.99!
Are you out of your mind?
$10.99 if you go month to month. But check it out, everybody. I guarantee if you've loved today with all the free shows, you will love a subscription to the website. We're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new show. We got a lot of big stuff coming up this week. And of course, a lot of SummerSlam coverage this weekend. So don't miss out. Sign up. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.